on the fourth chapter. In your pew Bible is page 864. The Gospel of John, chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 11. So let's stand together this morning as we read God's Word. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, page 864. Let's read together. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?" Let's keep reading. "Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Thank you so much." You know, I played baseball before the days of Powerade and energy drinks. As the season would progress and it would get hotter, our coach would bring salt tablets and a big yellow container of water, and I would not dare call it a cooler because the water was never cool. It was always kind of lukewarm. And he never brought cups. So we would take a salt tablet, and then you would get down on your knees, and you would press the little white button and hold your mouth as close to the spigot where the water was coming out as possible in order to drink. That was definitely pre-COVID. You know, regardless of how warm the water was, because you had taken that salt tablet, you better drink some water. If not, you weren't going to make it, because before long, everything in your stomach was going to evacuate. In our text today, Jesus encounters a woman as she comes in the midday heat. The Bible says at noontime. She came in the midday heat to the village well. Water was an essential element in her time. And the towns and villages were always located around sources of water. Each day at noontime, she would come to the well alone, accompanied only by her shame. She drew water for that day's use and would return back to the village. Every day she had to come draw water. There were no sick days. There was no off day. There was no holidays. In order for her family to survive, she had to make the daily trek to the well. It's little wonder that she jumps at this opportunity Jesus offered her when he said, "The water that I give, if you drink of this water that I give, you'll never be thirsty again." And even though she misunderstood what Jesus was saying, I love her response, "Sir, give me this water." Give me this water. And I've thought about it this week, how the Bible emphasizes thirst and how the Bible points us in the direction of the satisfaction of that thirst. We read this in Psalm 42, beginning in verse 1. As the deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? And then in Psalm 63, verse 1, my God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And then the Bible not only points us in the direction of thirst, but the Bible points us in the direction of having that thirst satisfied. Isaiah 55, verse 1, Isaiah wrote, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And then in John chapter 7, verse 37, on the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Thirst and satisfaction. Thirst and satisfaction. We're not acquainted with thirst. Everywhere you look now, everybody is carrying either a Yeti or some kind of cooler of water or a bottle of water. That is now the go-to for us, is we always have water nearby. But in the days in which Jesus was living, that was not the situation. Thirst was a real situation that they came in contact with on a daily basis. And they were continually looking for a way to satisfy that thirst. And so when Jesus says to this woman, "I'm offering you living water, and when you drink of the water that I offer, you'll never be thirsty again," she jumped at that opportunity. Jesus said this to her about the water: "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Not just water. He would give you living water. Now remember, they were accustomed going to a well, and they would either go down into that well and draw water, and that's what happened with Rebekah in watering the camels that Abraham's servant brought. She had to go down steps into that well and dip a large container into the water and draw it out and then come back up those steps. Or they might have, like we see sometimes, some kind of bucket or something at which they could lower into the water and draw, but the water was always contained. When Jesus is talking to her about living water, he's not talking to her about water that is contained. He's talking to her about water from a stream, water from a spring, water that is continually moving, water that is flowing, not just water that is contained. Living water. Whenever I read this passage, I'm reminded of something that happened probably over 50 years ago. We had decided we were going to take a short trip out of town, and so we just had one son at the time. We took our oldest son, Sean. He was 4 years old, and we took him up to North Carolina, and we were going to take him to Cades Cove. And if you've been to Cades Cove, you know when you are on that road, that little winding two-lane road that goes to Cades Cove, to your right-hand side, there's a river flowing. And out in that river, there are large rocks. And we had packed a small picnic, and rather than go into the picnic grounds, we decided we would picnic there at the river. And being a four-year-old, he was not content to sit by the side of the bank. He wanted to get in the water. And so he began walking out on the rocks, heading out into the water. And he got so far out that he couldn't come back on his own. And so the only option we had was move the picnic to where he was, because he couldn't make it back to the picnic. So we gathered everything up, and here we go, rock by rock, and the water flowing in. And you could look at the rocks and see some of them were wet from the water coming over them. Rock by rock, we're walking out, and this water is flowing by us as we go out to where Sean is. And when I think of when Jesus says living water, he's not talking about some warm water that comes out of a hose. He's not talking about some container of water that you have to go down into every day to draw. He's talking about rivers, this flowing, powerful, living, ever-giving, ever-flowing, ever-moving, ever-life-giving stream of water. And he says this to her, I'll give you living water, not this warm water that you have to go draw out, but water that flows, water that is filled with life and water that is filled with vitality and the ability to give life. He's talking to her about the flow of the Holy Spirit coming out of her life and flowing into the lives of others. Living water. Jesus said in John 4:13, everyone who drinks of this water, this well water you have here, is going to be thirsty. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. That Greek word give is didomi, D-I-D-O-M-I, and it means to give without compensation. It doesn't have to be purchased. It doesn't have to be bought. It doesn't have to be earned. It is given without compensation. It means to bestow, to impart, to grant, to endow. In other words, Jesus is telling her, I want to give you this water. It's in my heart to give you this water. I want it to pour out all over you. And I want it to come in such a torrent and such a volume that you can't even contain it, that it just begins flowing out of you like it's flowing out of me. I'm going to give it to you freely. There's nothing you can do to earn this water. There's no price you can pay to purchase this water. It's free water, and it's going to flow out of you freely. It is free, it is inexhaustible, it is flowing, it is gushing, it is without limit, it is without price, it is cleansing, it is refreshing, it's living water. And so today, as we prepare to come to the communion table and we begin to prepare to take the elements, that bread that represents His broken body, that cup that represents His shed blood, we have to ask ourselves a question. Am I thirsty? We're living, have walked through in the last year a very dry time. A very barren time. A time in which we have been worn out by a virus and worn out by racial tension and worn out by rioting and unrest and worn out by a presidential election and worn out by rhetoric that has gone back and forth and worn out by the fighting between the ones on this side and the ones on that side, and how are we going to stop them from doing this and how are we going to keep them from coming around behind us and doing it? We've been worn out by it. It's been a dry, barren time. We've heard all the statistics and all the things that have happened in our country and the politics that goes on and how the politics got involved with the pandemic. And we're worn out by it. And so many people have lost their joy. And they've lost touch with Christ. They've lost touch with the church. They've lost touch with family. They feel isolated. They're afraid. They're just locked in and locked down. And every time it seems there's a little glimmer of hope, there's always that door slamming shut. And yet Jesus says to us today the same thing He said to that woman at the well. If you knew who you were talking to, He would give you living water. and you would never thirst again. You see, this is why the psalmist could say this in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Planted by rivers of water. Are we thirsty? Are we longing? Are we craving? Are we desiring? I don't know about you, but the thing that has welled up in me over the past year is not, I'll be glad when things get back to normal. It will be, God, can you take us beyond what we have labeled normal into a new move of your Spirit and quench this thirst that is ringing up and springing up within us? And so we come today to the table of the Lord, and I hear the words of Christ saying, if you'll come and drink of this water that I offer you, it'll become in you springs of living water. You won't just be a taker. You'll be a giver. It won't be just about, what have you got for me, Lord? It becomes, Lord, what are you going to do through me today, Lord? The Old Testament talks about how when Moses took the vial of oil and he poured it over Aaron's head, he anointed him in front of all the people. And it's in the 133rd Psalm. It says that the oil flowed down from Aaron. It flowed down from his head through his beard. It came down through his clothing. It went to the bottom of his robe. And there was so much poured on him that it began to drip on him. That sweet-smelling aroma. Everywhere Aaron walked, he was dropping off that sweet-smelling aroma. And everywhere Aaron walked, people could say, he has the anointing on him. It is why when Peter and John are brought in before the council of the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 3, it says they took note of them, that even though they were ignorant and unlearned men, they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. So today when we come to this table, we want to come to this table and say, Jesus, I'm thirsty. I want more. I don't want just a little sip. I don't want you to just fill my cup. I want that living water. And the table of the Lord is one of the places we can come and partake of that living water that Jesus gives freely. John Wesley, in 1705, preached a sermon that he titled, The Duty of Constant Communion. In 1732, I'm sorry. And in it, he said these words, and I quote, "The grace of God given herein confirms to us the pardon of our sins by enabling us to leave them. As our bodies are strengthened by bread and wine, so are our souls strengthened by these tokens of the body and blood of Christ. This is the food of our souls. This gives strength to perform our duty and leads us on to perfection. If, therefore, we have any regard for the plain command of Christ, if we desire the pardon of our sins, if we wish for strength to believe, to love, and obey God, then we should neglect no opportunity of receiving the Lord's Supper." I don't know about you, but as I come to the table today, I come saying, Lord, I want everything you have for me. I'm thirsty. I want more, Lord. I want more. There's more of you. I don't want to be content with just drinking out of Jacob's well. I want to tap in to the living water that you freely give. Lord, today we thank you. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he came not to offer us water drawn from Jacob's well, but he came to offer us the living water, freely given. The Holy Spirit poured out upon us, the taste of salvation, the fullness of God flowing in us, through us, and out of us like a river. So that wherever we go, people would sense that the river of God, that living water, is flowing out of us. So I pray today, Lord, as we come to this table, as we take of the elements of communion, that there would rise up within us that same cry of that woman at the well, Lord, give me this water. In the name of Jesus, amen.